Anybody got any lower back problems right now? If you do, come on up. Come on up if you do. Don't be shy. Anybody have any lower back problems? Father God, we send the word. Your word says that surely you have bore our sicknesses and you have carried our diseases, and by your stripes they are healed. I don't want you to have to do it before it's too late. Everything that God has given us is a free gift. Why not accept it? All you have to do is believe in what he's done for you. Nope, I'm going to go here. Just believe what he's done for you. That's why I teach what I teach. That's why I preach what I preach. It's a done deal. So whatever you're facing inwardly in your body, sickness, disease, it's a done deal. You have to believe it. Live it out. Thank God for those who do go, do get help. We thank God for Raymond. He's doing well, right? He's doing good, But I don't want you to have to miss out on what God has to offer for you. All right. Everybody comfortable? You want to get uncomfortable? I like messing with phrases and stuff. And the reason why is because we talk about this. We've hear, you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable and all that stuff. And, but the main thing for me is this, is that since we have the Holy Spirit, he's our comforter. He doesn't make us uncomfortable. It's our flesh that gets uncomfortable. Sometimes we don't want to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. My body does not want to wake up at 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, but it does. And I have to pray. That's my spirit man doing that. Because we are spirits. We possess mind and we live in a body. Our flesh don't want to do it, but our spirit man does it. When we get out there and if you're working out and stuff, your flesh may not want to do it, but your spirit man is saying, hey, we're doing this for the long haul. When you're reading the word of God, when you're spending time in prayer, your flesh may not want to do it, but your spirit man wants you to. That's where he's comfortable. I'm comfortable in the presence of God. I'm comfortable when I stand up here and I listen to worship and allow the worship team to minister and allow the Holy Spirit to minister. I'm comfortable because he's our comforter. I'm comfortable when I'm praying. I'm comfortable when I'm reading God's word. I'm comfortable in those things. I'm comfortable when God sends me out and goes do and go out to do what I want to do or what he wants me to do, not what I want to do. I'm comfortable in that. So even when the Lord says to do something totally different, I'm comfortable in that. If I get up here and I preach, and y'all know I don't sugarcoat nothing. You know that. But if somebody was wanting me to sugarcoat stuff, that would make me uncomfortable. I can't sugarcoat stuff. Because that's just how I am. I can't sugarcoat stuff. Other people can. Other ministers can. I can't do it. Because I'm not. That makes me uncomfortable. So I don't ever want to get out in the flesh. I want to stay in the will of God for my life. So when he has me to do something, I'm going to have to do it. When he has me to pray for people, I'm going to have to pray. When he has me to call things out, sometimes, Lord, I don't know if this is right. Is it? You're going to have to trust him. Those things may not be comfortable for you, for your flesh, but for your inward man, it's like, yeah, I need to do this. So I kind of twist that. I wouldn't say twisted, but I just interchange those things. I want to be comfortable for God, not uncomfortable. I want to go all out for God, but that puts me in the comfort zone for my spirit, man, because I'm living life by the spirit, but not by the flesh. The lust of the flesh should make us uncomfortable to sin against God. That should make you uncomfortable, not comfortable. All right. Not too many amens on that one. Seriously, if you're operating out of the lust of the flesh, why are you comfortable when your spirit man is saying, dude, that ain't right? That shouldn't make you comfortable to do that. I don't believe that David, when David sinned and he sinned and with Bathsheba, and then he covered it up. I believe David was uncomfortable where he was at. That's the reason why he did it. Because David is known for a fighter. Saul killed 1,000 men, but David killed 10,000. David is a warrior. He's a fighter. He's a leader. That's what he was doing. That's what he's comfortable doing. What he was uncomfortable doing was chilling at home and watching another woman bathe. That was uncomfortable for him. We need to get back to that comfort zone and being in the presence of God and doing what he wants to do, because we're being led by his spirit rather than by our flesh. Our flesh will take us to places where we are uncomfortable to our spirit, man, because we live our life by the spirit first. Christ lives in us. I'm just trying to change the game up. So if you have your Bibles, anybody got your Bibles? I got my stuff on here as well, but open up your Bibles to Isaiah 54, 14 through 17. This is the Passion Translation that I'm reading from. It says, you will be established. You will be established in righteousness. Oppression be far from you. Fear be far from you. Yes, terror will not come near you, nor will you be afraid. Being established in righteousness, you will be far from injury, from fraud and distress. And God will restore the judges and the counselors in that land, and they will bend, they won't bend and bow to the world. They will not bend and bow to the world, the judges and the counselors that he has, because they're men who are going to stand in righteousness. You will be established as a city in righteousness. We don't need more crooked politicians. We don't need that. Our nation needs to be established in righteousness. Huh? When you get there and you try to make a change, you're up and coming, you try to make a change, they're going to try to get you to bow and bend to their needs and their wants. And the next thing you know, you're just another fish in a pond. And yet God has raised you up to be a holy city. God has raised you up to be the church. God has raised you up to do the things that he's called you to do. You never allow anyone to try to diminish what God has put on the inside of you. Your vision, your dream that he's given you is far bigger than theirs. And they're just doing a little bit comparison. What you have on the inside of you is for you. And it's for you to speak it out and for you to live it out. Because we're all going to have to give a personal account, all of us, for what he's given you. See, I don't believe that the richest place in the world is the cemetery. A lot of people say that. That's where all the dreams have died. But if God has placed it on the inside of an individual, he will take that and put it on someone else. And they'll live it out. They just didn't benefit from that. They weren't benefactors. So what do you have on the inside that's growing on the inside, that's stirring on the inside of you, that you haven't spoken out yet, that you haven't lived out yet? There's still stuff to do. Jesus says in Matthew 12:30, he says that all who are not for me are against me, and those who do not gather with me scatter. So either we coming together, we're gathering, or you're sitting down and not doing anything, or you're scattering. You're doing one of the three. Hey, God has called us to be more than just a seat warmer. We're all called to do something. We're all called to participate, to get in the game. All of us. We're called to disciple. Disciples will make disciples. I don't want converts in here. I don't want consumers. What can you just do for me? I just need help. Wait a minute. You have the word of God. You can do it yourself too. I'm here to help you. We're here to grow you. We're here to make you comfortable in the things of God, because you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. But when you get uncomfortable is when you're out of the will of God and your flesh is having its way. It says you will be established in righteousness. Fear is not going to have an impact in your life. Now, although there may be times where the enemy may want to sow fear through other people, fear will not be a weight in your life. When you receive Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ, terror will not come near you, or destruction. It does not mean that people won't plot or plan evil against you, but it does mean that these plans will not work. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Verse 15, it says, if anyone dares to what? Stir up strife or make trouble. We talked about the troublemaker, right? It is not from me. Think about that. Some people could be saying that this is from God. God is using you. God is saying this. God is doing this. And he's saying it's not from him. All the trouble that you have going on in your life is not from God, because we serve a good God. We serve a holy God. We serve a righteous God. We serve a just God. We serve a God that doesn't want you oppressed. We serve a God that doesn't want you living in fear. We serve a God that doesn't want terror to come near your way. We serve a God where he wants us to abide in his shadow. That's the God we serve. Why is he going to stir up strife in your life? That's petty. The enemy will do that. He says, it is not from me. You can take that to the bank. You can take that anywhere else. You can take that to the convenience store. When I was growing up, I did my banking at a liquor store. I didn't have a bank account. We go get a cash at a liquor store. It says, if anyone dares to stir up strife against you, it is not from me. Those who will challenge you will what? Go down in defeat. That's a promise. Anyone who dares challenge the child of God will go down in defeat. Anyone who dares to challenge you will go down in defeat. Anyone. So why do we think I preach on both sides of it? It's not just you walking in love with your neighbor. You need to treat your neighbor right. That means, it doesn't mean that you can come in here, do whatever it is you want to do to this group of people over here, and then they have to put up with your stuff. That's not what that means. And that's what people do in the body of Christ. That right there. That means you're called to love your neighbor as yourself. You're called to love your neighbor as yourself. Doesn't mean there's going to be conflict, because there is, but you got to work those things out with the word of God. So we don't have a right to be going to other people and stirring up strife, because then they are yielded to the enemy. I'm trying to tell you this because people will seduce you. That word seduce means to persuade to disobedience or disloyalty to God. So it's a spirit of seduction that is operating in people's lives. And if you don't get it, you'll fall for it every time. I don't want that for you. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, do I have to say that? I do. You know what? Because God corrects those he loves. If I didn't say it, that means you're illegitimate. And you don't want that. The last thing I want is a coach not to say anything to me. If he's riding me, I want that. Why? Because he's pushing me to become greater. He knows there's something on the inside of me. Right? And so when a coach is going at you, why is he always on me? It's because he sees something great and he's trying to bring that out. But see, God already knows there's greatness on the inside of you. He wants you living that out from the inside out. He doesn't have to push you. You have to push yourself. Because if somebody else has to push you, they're going to be in sin and they're going to open up the door. God wants you to push yourself. You're your greatest enemy at times because you're standing there being stagnant. You get to go. I've had great coaches. Every single one of them coming all the way up. Loved them. Loved them. And the thing about it is that people get to the place where it comes to criticism. Here's the thing. I played for great coaches here, played against some of the best players ever, played with some of the best players, played against some of the best players, played with the best coaches and what have you. I said, and they criticized quite a bit. Now it gets to the place in my life, I said, I can take criticism, but I don't take criticism. You get that? I can take criticism. I'm good, but I don't take criticism. I'll take what the word of God has to say about me, because your criticism doesn't line up with this. And that's not who I am. This is who I am. If you like turtles and I like lions, keep the change. Don't give me your 2 cents. I'm good. You like turtles. You like how turtles move. You like how turtles respond. You like how turtles have their little shell and everything else. You like turtles, but I like lions. And when you're trying to push your turtles up on me, and trying to say, I need to act like a turtle. That ain't never gonna happen. Thank you for your 2 cents. Now keep the change. You're wasting time. That's the distraction. You know, the Bible says that those who are people-pleasing, if I were to listen to that, those who are people-pleasing, if you're people-pleasing, you can't be a servant of Jesus. That's why I don't take a poll on what to preach on. I don't ever take a poll. I don't ever ask anybody, hey, what do you want me to preach on this week? Anybody ever get that message? Never got it. Never did it in 20 years of preaching. I don't do it. I said, I ask the Lord, what do you want me to preach on? What do you want your children to hear? What do you want the church to hear? That's what I preach on. And he gives it to me. Why? Because it's something that you need to hear. We preach what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And sometimes people just want to want, they want what they want, what they want, what they want, and it's not what they need. You feed them with the word of God, and you do it passionately. Verse 16, it says this. See, I am the one who created the craftsman, God did this, who fans the coals into a fire and forges a weapon fit for its purpose, and I am the one who created the destroyer to destroy. God created these people. He created them to destroy, but not you. God created Satan, and Satan comes to do what? Steal, kill, and to, but he can't do it to you unless you give him permission. So when the enemy is attacking, you got to open up your mouth. You've got to say something. You've got to confess. You got to get with your wife, your husband, and get together. Let's get an agreement. Let's find out what this word says, and let's stand on the word and not back down. God is the one who created the destroyer to destroy, but they can't destroy you. Verse 17, I love this. He says, but I promise you, no weapon meant to hurt you will succeed, and you will refute every accusing word spoken against you. This isn't saying, God is saying, go back to that, please. It says, but I promise you, God promises you that no weapon meant to hurt you will succeed, and you will refute every accusing word spoken against you. You have to do that. You're waiting for someone else to do it for you. Now, I don't mean on social media, because anybody can put anything and it would just be never ending. You don't mess with that. Stay off of that. Well, they're talking about me. No, they never mentioned your name. They may have been talking about somebody else. But every accusing word that comes against you, you shall refute. You have to. Because otherwise, they'll do it again. And again. And again. And again. All designed to wear you down. Every accusing word, you shall refute. Give me the, this is, go to the next one, or the end of that. This promise is the inheritance of Yahweh's servants, and their vindication is from me, says Yahweh. Go to the MAV version. Or Amplify, we'll do that one. He says, but no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. You have to do that. This peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me. This is that which I impart to them as their justification, says the Lord. That's part of your inheritance. That's part of what God has given you. That's, wait a minute. You're not supposed to be saying anything. Yes, you have to. Not to everyone. There are things that are said to me that I don't say anything. I just let it go by. I just wait for the Lord to say, you better say something. Then I have to say something. I can't help that. Now, I can be disobedient to God, or I could be obedient to God. I'd rather be obedient because blessing comes with obedience. Curses come through disobedience. The MEV version, this is it. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall raise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, says the Lord. Either you're gathering or your scattering. And the Bible says when a shepherd is struck, the sheep will do what? Why do you think after that worker's appreciation, there was no one here? Shepherd was struck. But then it has to be corrected. All week, I had to correct. We're here to gather, not scatter. If you're here to scatter, resign from your position, move on. God bless you. I love you. I love you. There is grace for you. But here's the thing. Where there was great grace, there was great giving and also great judgment. In the early church, there was great grace, great giving, and great judgment. That's why Ananias and Sapphira fell dead. There was great giving and great grace, but there also was great judgment. We don't do that. Why? Because that's not your inheritance. It is not my inheritance. We talk about Refiner. I love that song. And I'm over here saying, well, Matt, he's over here singing this and he wants to be refined. So that means that I got to stir up a lot of drama in his life so that God can try him. That is not what he's saying. Why? Because I'm not called to do that to him. That would be me in sin trying to get him to get on his nerves just so he can lash out and say, well, you said God was trying you by fire. That is not what he's saying. But there are going to be opportunities for the enemy to come in and jack your marriage up, jack your relationship up, pester you on the job, do all that other stuff. And yes, you're going to have to rise above that. And sometimes the Lord may say, don't say anything. I got you. And then other times the Lord will say, you need to say something. You need to stand up and open up your mouth. You need to slang that sword. So you have to be patient and you have to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying, because some people are relying upon others to say the things that they need them to say when they should be saying it first. Every person here has a voice. Every person. And God wants you speaking up and not just have select few. Every single person who believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, who believe what Jesus has done for them, every person has a voice. You just got to believe the word. You got to be rooted in the word. You got to speak the word. That's so important in your life. You don't understand. Well, why are these same problems coming up? Because you're not speaking it. You're speaking your problem, but you're not speaking what the word says. And you're not walking it out. In 1 Samuel 17, if you got that. It says, for 40 days, this is Goliath and David. We know about the story, but I'm going to read some of it and just let you know. Wait, I skipped a whole lot. Do you have Mark? I skipped that, didn't I? Yes. It says, Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was a Sabbath, Jesus' enemy watched him closely. See, people watch you closely. You understand that? You realize there's people out there in the world that will monitor you. There's people who will monitor you. But then there's people within the church that may have some demons in them that will try to monitor and watch you too. And Acts 16 talks about that. Little girl with the spirit of divination, she followed Paul for many days and watched him, saying that these men work for the Most High. They'll do it to wear you down. He says, if he healed the man's hand, they planned to do it, accuse him of working on the Sabbath. They're up to no good. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. Then he turned to his critics and asked, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or to destroy it? But they wouldn't answer him. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand and it was restored. At once the Pharisees went away, met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to do what? Kill Jesus. See, when people say Jesus never confronted him, he always confronted him. There were certain times where he couldn't say anything. The woman with the issue of blood, he confronted him. So there's some certain times in our lives where you have to confront. You know, try this out. When your child acts up, if you still have your children living at home and they mouth off to you, don't say anything. Some of you are like, oh yeah, I can't do that. What did you say? You need to come back here. Just don't say anything. See what happens. Because I guarantee you, the more and more they do it, the more and more they're just going to push your buttons and get what they want from you. If you don't say anything. And that's the same way the enemy is. The more and more you allow the enemy to do what it wants to do to you, they will push your buttons, they will go at you, they will try you, they will test you. If you don't say anything and you don't speak up, they will do it again and again and again. And it's not because you don't love them. You do it because you love them. When people have a no trespassing sign, it's not because they hate everybody. Some of the time it is. It's because they don't want you coming up on their property so that you don't get shot. You're looking like Wile E. Coyote or something. Go to 1 Samuel. It says, for 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. One day, Jesse took David to take this basket of roasted grain and then 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers and give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they're doing. He'd never go back. David's brothers were with Saul in the Israelite army in the Valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. So David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts. As Jesse had directed him, he arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battle with the shouts and battle cries. Soon the Israelites and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. They were standing, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. Look at this. As soon as they saw Goliath, they ran. Scaredy cats. See, there's a difference between being a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. Peacekeepers don't say anything. Peacemakers will say something. Jesus was a peacemaker because it says, bless those who are peacemakers. You have to say something. There's sometimes it doesn't have to be rude. It doesn't have to be harsh. It could just be a good, kind word, but you're letting you know you're asserting yourself. There's one time when I was at the Hayes Daily, I was working there. It was towards the end. I only worked there for 5 years. And we have a 6:30 to 9:30 shift that we do on Saturday night. And then we come back and we have a short little break and we come back at 12 and work from 12 to 5 in the morning. So a lot of Sunday mornings when we were first married, I wasn't here because I was working. So when she was dragging the kids and stuff like that. And so there was one particular night where a guy came in. And we had to help him out. The paper was so thick, and if it's thick, it gets really messy. But he came in. He sat a fifth of whiskey on the mailbags. I don't know if it's Jack or Tennessee, but a fifth, just boom, right in the open. And then we started. I'm like, okay, this is gonna be interesting tonight. So we start the paper up. And stuff. And then all of a sudden, everybody's working. I'm putting in the inserts and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, all these papers start flying out. Boom. He just start throwing them. I stopped that thing. I said, get out. He says, what? And then he comes right around, gets right in my face. And he starts cussing me out. And I felt, and I sensed the Spirit of God just from the top of my head all the way down, just come over me. Peace. Peace. As soon as he got done, I said, are you done? I said, now take your whiskey, go home, get sobered up, and come back Monday morning. And he turned around and left. one of the drivers was like, man, I was waiting for you to lay him out. I said, I wanted to. That was a thought. But I didn't. Why? Because the peace of God was over me. I said, but see, here's the thing. If I would have just left it alone, that would have made it uncomfortable for everybody there. So sometimes you do have to stand up for stuff. Sometimes you do have to come against things because you were given ownership of this world. And Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound where? In heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So basically, whatever you allow, God will allow. Whatever you allow in your life to happen, God will allow. And people will say, well, God will allow this. Yeah, because you allowed it. Anytime you hear that on podcasts and on social media, it said, well, God will allow this sometimes in your life. Ain't no scripture for that, but God will allow what you allow. That's why you have to take ownership of it. Can't nobody come up into your home and break into your home without your permission and come into your house without permission and do whatever it is they want to do. Be jumping all over my couch. Man, what's wrong with you? Why? Because you allowed it. If you allow the enemy to operate in your life and in your relationships, you're allowing it. God is saying, you need to speak up. When you allow people to come against us, I said, you need to speak up. You have to. You just can't allow it to happen. Because if you allow it, they'll do it again and again and again. I love my oldest son. I love all my sons. But I only had to get on Isaiah one time in his life. He was 13. And I was coaching him. And I was coaching at the middle school. And he didn't want to listen to what I was having him to do and stuff. And plus his friends were trying to take advantage and everything. So they didn't think they'd have to work hard. They don't know how hard Isaiah worked. I work them. And then they thought they would tell, oh, I'm Isaiah's friend, so I can just do whatever. You're going to have to put in the work too. But Isaiah said something to me. I said, listen, these teenage years can be really fun for you, or they could be really harsh. I said, and you don't want to mess with me on that one. I never had a problem with him again. Great young man, a great dad. But I only had to tell him once, one time. So sometimes you do have to confront because God has put that on the inside of you. You have stuff that's stirring on the inside. I need to say something. I need to say something. I need to say something. And if the Lord is prompting you to say it, say it. God's got your back on that. And then there are other times you shouldn't say it, especially if you're in anger, if you're angry and stuff like that. The Bible says in your anger, do not sin. But you don't ever want to make decisions based off of your emotions. You got to pray about that. That's an important thing. Verse 25, that's where we're at. He says, have you seen the giant? The men ask. He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward, prize fight, to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a while, and the man's entire family will be exempted from taxes. And if you can go back to the New Testament where Jesus was at when they were trying to get him to pay the temple tax, Jesus was exempt because he came in the line of David. He never should have had to pay, but he did anyway. He says, don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Ooh. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine. See, he's trying to tell him there's no way you can. Saul didn't know what David had done. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted, I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with the club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. When people come against you, they're defying you because they don't realize that you're a child of the Most High. That's why it will never destroy you. Though the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the bear. Okay, go to the next one. David put it on. I said, now he was talking about David put it on strapped a sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. See, and this is what Saul did. Saul said, let me come and let me put my armor on you. Let me give you some armor. Let me give you some gear. But David never fought in that gear. When he beat the lion, when he beat the bear, killed him, he never fought in Saul's gear. Now he's getting ready to fight. Now Saul didn't want to fight because he was scaredy cat. He was running away with him or what have you. I said, but see, Landon, come up here. Now this is my thing, and it's been in my office for quite some time, and I've noticed that because it wasn't fitting right. It was hanging up in my closet. If I say, hey, Matt, you're gonna have to use. Does that look weird on him? It kind of looks good. I was that small? Doggone Lord Jesus. But see, he likes his stuff tight, as you can see his shorts and stuff like that, right? Because he has a physique. But that doesn't fit him. That doesn't fit him at all. And Saul was trying to give him these things in order to go fight. David's like, yeah, I can't do this. I got to get my own stuff. And if I were to, come on up here, Matthew. Thank you. I appreciate it. See, if I were to put this on Matthew, please don't rip it. It's Luciano. There you go. See, that doesn't fit him either. You want it? You can have it. You want it?
No.
All right. All right, I'll make you a deal. But that's the thing. Thank you. Hallelujah. See, it doesn't matter who I bring up. That doesn't fit them because that's mine. And it barely fits me. But what God has for you is you. It's what he's called you to do. You don't have my personality. I don't have yours. But God is flowing through you. We have Christ living on the inside of us. That's why the mountain will obey your voice more so than mine for your life. Go to the next one, please. He says, I can't go in these, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off again. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into his shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. Am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come with me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, you come, see, opposition, you got to open up your mouth. You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's army, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you and I will kill you and cut your head off, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Whew. See, social media will have you say unalived, but the Bible says kill. You have to open up your mouth. And Brother Hankins would say, if you're running at your giant, you better run with your mouth open. You can't do it closed. We have to do it right, people. Why? Because either we're gathering or we're scattering. And we don't want to scatter. We want to gather. Great grace, great giving, great judgment in the early church. Of course, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. You do give grace. But you also give correction. And the reason why people correct is because they want you thoroughly equipped so that you can do every good work. If correction leads to control, it wasn't correction. It was control disguised as correction. Correction needs to be corrected. Rebuke needs to be rebuked. That leads to godly living. That's why it's there. Teaching and training, same way. But the spirit behind it, you have to understand, you just can't take somebody else's stuff and then go and do it. Because the spirit behind it isn't good. God loves you. He cares about you. No one can come and call me up and say, hey, you know, Richard was doing this and this and this and this and this and this. Well, I wasn't there. Did you tell him? Did you see it? Well, no. Well, if you didn't see it, who'd you hear it from? Well, I don't know. I just heard it. Well, click. God bless you. Pray for him. Have a good day. Why is that? Because I wasn't there. You know, a witness is somebody who was actually there, who seen it with their own eyes, heard it with their own ears. 500 people saw Jesus ascend into heaven. 500. It wasn't one who told 499. It was 500 who literally saw Jesus ascend on a cloud into heaven. So they can all tell that story. I wasn't a witness. But if the Lord prompts it on my heart, you need to go say something, then I'll go say something. Why? Because the Lord sent me, not someone else. That's how we have to do things. If the Lord sends you, go do it. If people send you, leave it alone. Pray for them. Why? Because God is a God of order. That's disorder, not order. Because he loves you. He wants the best for you. I was really struggling on this one. Actually, I was good until Brandon's message. I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Why? Because it was kind of convicting me there. Because I wanted to soften me up, dude. It was, doggone it. That's fine. But it was a message that I had to preach. Why? Because God loves you and he wants the best for you. So if we're here to gather, let's gather. Jesus says, all who is here to gather with me, let's do that. But all the other ones who are opposing them, they scatter. We're not going to scatter anymore. Amen. We're going to gather. God's for you. He's not against you. He's got your back. He wants the best for you. Some of you have been believing for stuff. I said, but the same thing keeps stirring it up. You keep getting stuck in the same thing. And he's got breakthrough for you, but there's people who keeps pulling you back. You got to keep listening to him. The breakthrough was right there for you, but then the same people would come in and bring you back. Sometimes you just got to be like, yeah, I'm good. I'm just not do that for a season. And let's see what happens. I'm not going to hang around with those people for a season. Let's just see what happens and what God is doing. Lord, I'm just committed to listening to you. I want to be obedient to you because blessings come through this through obedience, not disobedience. Whoo! Come on now. Y'all still love me? Because God loves you. I like y'all. No, I love you. I love you. That's why I tell you the truth. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you, Lord. If there's anyone here who's never accepted Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, you want to do that today? You want to make him your Lord and Savior? Raise your hand. We will pray with you. If there's anyone here who needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come on up. We will get you filled. Or you can just ask the Holy Spirit right there, fill me. Fill me, Lord. Fill me. God doesn't ever want you going on empty. And we don't have to. The Bible says to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for all the hearts that are here. We thank you for your loving correction, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can live by it and abide by it, and it just operate in our lives, Father God. And we just thank you for the people that this group of people here will impact in this city and wherever you place them, Lord. Give them the boldness to speak up when you tell them to speak up. We just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, We invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.